Tonight, the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, good to have many of you back from this morning. I hope the Lord bless. I thought the Lord gave us a good meeting this morning, and of course that was this morning. We want to worship Him tonight, and 2 Thessalonians 3, we're going to finish the book tonight. We're down to the conclusion of the book. We're going to got three verses we got to cover, and if we would, let's go ahead and look at them, verses 16 through verse 18. This will close out the great book of 2 Thessalonians tonight. It says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening for the great privilege of being in your house. Thank you for this place of worship, forgiveness, and Lord, your provisions that you've made for our church here. And Lord, we pray for tonight's message, that it would be such as understandable and pleasing. And Lord, we pray that when we're done tonight, that the folks would be edified as a result of listening to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, what we're going to title the message at this evening is "The Lord of Peace." That's what our title is going to be. And we get that title from verse 16, where it says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace." The Lord of peace Himself give you peace. So that's going to be our focus tonight, is the Lord of peace. The main thing that we're going to do is I'm going to give you reasons why He's given that title. He's given the title Lord of Peace for a reason. And I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why He's called the Lord of Peace. And here's the outline for you. Because He makes peace. He makes peace. Number two, because He gives peace. And then number three, because He will rule in perfect peace. So those are three. Just a really small little outline would be good for you to remember. Let me give it to you again. He makes peace, He gives peace, and He will rule in perfect peace. So that will be the three-point outline that we look tonight. Now, this title, the Lord of Peace, is used about five times in the New Testament. So there's an emphasis on it. So I thought we'd go back and get this. Because I want you to see the number of times where the Lord of Peace, or the God of Peace, it's stressed that that's one of His titles that we need to remember. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go ahead and look at the different places that this is used. Because there's emphasis placed on it. That's why it's mentioned so many times. When the Bible mentions something over and over again, it's because He wants to put emphasis on it. And the emphasis He wants to put on this tonight is that our God is a God of peace. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He's a God of peace? Now notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Here you have it again. "And the very God of peace." Now in 2 Thessalonians, Lord of peace. But here in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's the God of peace. "Sanctify you wholly, and I pray you," or "I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you have the God of peace. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, and we're close by there too, just want to give you the examples. It's put in the Bible a lot because, like I said, there's emphasis placed on it. We got me to realize that our God is a God of peace. And then by the time we're done, we're going to give you three reasons tonight why that's so. Hebrews 13 to verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So you see it there also. Let's go to the book of Romans. Used twice in the book of Romans. Who authored the New Testament and the Old Testament? Holy Spirit did. And He wants you to know. And that's why it's mentioned, as I said, so many times here tonight, that He wants you to know that He's a God of peace. Romans 15 and the verse 33 says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." Amen. Chapter 16 and the verse 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Is that enough? You get the idea, don't you? So it's the Apostle Paul uses that in his epistles at least five times. Philippians 4:9, you got it there too. I'm not going to turn to that one. Okay. Now, as I said, I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why he's called the God of peace. And I want you to turn down to Romans chapter 5. If you can't find things in your Bible, don't try. But I want you to listen. Because I'm going to read the text. Romans chapter 5. God makes peace. God makes peace. Romans chapter 5 tells us what we were before we were saved. And sometimes people don't realize it. People don't realize the shape they was in before they were saved. And sometimes the verse that I'm about to read kind of shocks people. And notice what it says in Romans 5 and verse 10. It says, "If when we were enemies..." Everybody see where it says enemies? So when it's talking about me or you, before we were born again, before we were saved, before the Lord opened our hearts and opened our eyes, what does it say we were? We were enemies. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled. To be reconciled means to be brought into a position of peace with God. The most important thing for any man, woman, boy, or girl is to be reconciled to God, to be brought in to this position of peace with God. I was an enemy. You were an enemy. And what God did by His grace is He reconciled us. He brought us into a position of peace with God. And I want to tell you something tonight, folks. That's the most important thing in the world, is to have peace with God. You don't want to die without having peace with God, do you? I think the most important thing in the world is having peace with God. Sometimes people will be on a deathbed, and sometimes people will ask me, say, "Jeff, you need to go talk to that person because they need to make their peace." And what they need to make peace with, and who they need to make peace with, is they need to have peace with God. Because what are we if we're not born again? If we've not been saved, and if we've never trusted Jesus as our Savior, it says we're enemies. That's what He says that you are. Isn't that a frightening thing? You don't want to die God's enemy. You want to be reconciled to Him and brought into this precious peace that you have of knowing that you're born again, knowing that it's well with your soul, knowing that you got a home in the Father's house. There ain't nothing like having peace with God. I do think that is the most important thing that there is to have peace with God. I don't think there's any greater priority in this world than having peace with God because of the shape we're in. Let's look at it one more time. Romans 5:10. If when we were enemies, that's what we were. Aren't you glad it says were? We were the same way. We were enemies. If you're tonight and born again, you were an enemy. But by God's grace, you didn't die there, did you? You don't want to die God's enemy. And it goes on to say in verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. What's reconciled means to be brought into a position of peace. See, if someone's reconciled to someone, that means they're brought into a position of peace. We were enemies. We were reconciled to God. How were we reconciled? By the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, I'll tell you what. The reason why we're reconciled, we were enemies, like I've said, but God paid a great price to reconcile us. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? When you look at yourself, I look at myself, and you look at yourself, to think that God would be, and we were enemies. I just want to reemphasize that. It said we were enemies, but yet He was willing to provide His Son as a means of reconciling us to Himself. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to imagine that kind of love. If there was anything in me that merited that, it might be understandable. But I was an enemy. I wanted nothing to do with God. If God left me where I was at, I would have stayed where I was at willingly. And I would have walked right into hell willingly. But God reconciled me. I was an enemy, but now I've been reconciled. Well, when you want to think about it this way, God's the one that took the initiative. I want you to hear me. God's the one that took the initiative in making peace with you. You didn't do it. God's the one that did it. Has everybody got that? God's the one that took the initiative to bring you in this position of peace. He, first of all, He provided His Son to die for you, didn't He? That was the price of peace, as He had, the Prince of Peace, had to pay the price of peace in order to save an enemy like Jeff Arthur. Okay? Well, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to show you some things. First thing we're looking at tonight, He's called the God of peace or the Lord of peace because He is the one that paid the price of peace. He made peace with us. He made peace with us. I want you to notice John chapter 6. And boy, I love John. I love the Gospel of John. Chapter 6 really makes you think a little bit. John chapter 6. And what I want you to notice is the verse 44. John chapter 6 and the verse 44. Everybody there? Now, I think we have the idea. Now, when I got saved, I came to Him for salvation. Did you hear what I just said? When I got saved, I did come to Him for salvation. And you did too. You realize you're a sinner. You realize you're lost and undone. And you had a desire to be saved. And you came to the Lord for salvation. You did that. But the reason why you came is given in John 6:44. Is everybody ready for it? You know what? I've given it to you in the past. It says this. No man can come to me except. Boy, I'm glad there's an exception in there. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what? Draw him. No man can come to me except the Father do what? Except the Father which sent me. Draw him. He has to draw you. If the Lord didn't, here's what I want you to get. I'm getting excited to catch your tail. If the Lord didn't draw you, if the Lord didn't intercede in your life and draw you, you'd stay right there in your sin, an enemy. That's just the fact of the matter. That's what that says. Let's look at it one more time. No man can come to me. Now, it didn't say they might come or it's a possibility they can. It says no man can come. See, because before you were saved and before the Lord draws you and before the Lord opens your eyes and before the Lord quickens you, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were a spiritual corpse. Spiritual corpse. You know what a corpse does? Lays there. Don't do anything. You can call out a corpse's name and they won't answer. You can say, come here. It won't come. Why? It's dead. And that's the shape I was in, and that's the shape you were in. You were dead in your sins. You were blinded. That's what the Scripture says. We were blinded. I once was blind, now I see, is what the old song says. And that's the way we was. That was the condition that we were in. So, in making peace, God took the initiative to make peace with you. I want to say it one more time. God took the initiative in making peace with you. He chose to make peace with you before the world ever began. And then 2,000 years ago, He provided His Son to pay the price of your peace by dying and rising again. And then in process of time, as time went on and I was born and I grew up, there was a time when the Prince of Peace drawed me unto Himself through the inward calling of the Holy Spirit. That's what He did. But He's the one that made the peace with me. And when He opened my old dead heart and He opened my blinded eyes and I saw and I trusted Him, and now I'm no longer an enemy. Now I've been reconciled to Him and I'm in a position of peace with God. All God's people say it. That's a glorious thing and a glorious position to be in. He made peace with us. He took the initiative in this thing to make peace with us. We were enemies, but we've been reconciled to Him, reconciled by the death of His Son. Now let's turn to Luke 19. Luke 19. Well, that's why He's called the Lord of Peace, because He makes peace. He made peace with us. Y'all ever thank God for making peace with you? He took the initiative to reconcile you. He's the one that done it. He showed you your need. He opened your heart. He opened your eyes. And He drove you to Himself. I don't understand that, but I know He did it. I just rejoice in it. I just can't tell you how much I rejoice in the fact that I was an enemy, worthless, no good for nothing sinner, and the God of heaven that spoke the world into existence in 6 24-hour days loved me and took the initiative to take me from being an enemy to being a child now of God. Y'all think that's a blessing? Can't explain that I don't deserve it, but I sure do love it, and that's why I preach about Him. Love Him. And that's why I want to bring glory to Him, because of that. Luke 19 and verse 10. Let's notice this. It's else about. We're talking about how God. What I want you to see tonight is how God took the initiative to make peace with you. You were the enemy. And I was the enemy. But He took the initiative to make peace with you. Think about it. Now in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10. And this is the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a covetous old sinner. People would have hated him. He lived for money. That's what drove him. He collected taxes from the Roman government, from his own people. When you wanted to talk about the height of sinner, you called him if you wanted to call someone a curse word, you called him a publican, because they were thieves. And that's what Zacchaeus was. In Luke 19, one day, Jesus came into town, and He went by His sycamore tree one day. Here Zacchaeus was up in the tree, a little short fella, and he was looking down. Jesus was famous. He just wanted, it was curiosity on his part. He was a famous man. He no doubt wanted to see what He looked like. And there come the King of Glory. There come Jesus. And here comes Jesus, and he looked up in that sycamore tree, and He said, "Now Zacchaeus," called him by name. They'd never met before. I guarantee they haven't met before. Jesus met him in the councils of eternity past. Don't get me wrong, but up to that day, I don't think they'd ever met. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come on down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today." I'm going to your house when? Going there today. You see what He said? And that's what He did. He went to His house. Notice what it says in verse 10 about the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about how He makes peace. Verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek, and save that which is lost." And I say it one more time. He seeks and saves that which is lost. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" He sought you out. He sought you out. We used to sing a song, what was it, Bertha? "He sought me." I can't remember the name of the song, but I know the song says this in it. "He sought me." Is it "Victory in Jesus"? "He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood." He sought you out. He sought you out. You were a lost sheep. And He sought you out, is what He did. And He called you and drawed you right unto Himself. That's what He did. Isn't that an awesome kind of love? Isn't that an awesome love? So He made, you were an enemy, but He sought you out. That's what you were. You were an enemy, but He sought you out, and He made peace with you. John 6:44 says He drawed you, like we just looked at in the text. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I never noticed this verse before. I taught through the book of Luke. Brother Mike's teaching through the book of Luke, which is awesome. Luke chapter 1. I've never noticed this verse in real detail till today. And that's what it says in verse 78. Through the tender, look at verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. It's talking about Jesus. Now listen to this. To give light to them that sit in darkness. That's why Jesus come. This is Luke 1 and verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness. Now, were we sitting in darkness before we were saved? Oh yeah, you not only were you dead, but the Bible also says you couldn't see. You were blinded. I mean, we said sometimes you'll see somebody and the message was clear and they sat under a lot of messages and you'll say, well, I can't believe it, couldn't see it. Well, they're blinded. Same as you was. And the same as I was. Did the Lord give you light? And watch this now. Verse 79. To give light to them that sat in darkness. Who gave you light? Tell me, folks, who gave you light? Who made you able to see? The Lord did it. Took those old blinded eyes and then you saw it. And he gave you an understanding. Like 1 John 5:20 said, give you an understanding to know Him is true. That understanding came from Him. That's why you know and you see it. I still ain't got to where I'm heading to. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide, watch it now, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He guided your feet into the way of peace. He guided your feet into the way of peace. Now, I have peace with God now, don't you? If you trust in Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who guided our feet? Who guided our feet into the way of peace? God did. God did it. Aren't you glad He done that? Isn't that a great blessing? So God took the initiative to make peace. Would you agree with me tonight that God is a peacemaker? Would you agree with me tonight that God is a peacemaker? He made peace with me, an enemy, dead, depraved, worthless sinner. And God sought me out, and brought me into the position of peace with Him. And that's where I'm standing at today. All God's people said. That's why I come to church. That's why I worship Him. That's why I pray to Him. And that's why I want other people to know about Him. Because I don't deserve that. And neither do you. You ever wonder why Matthew 5:44 says, Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. Let me say it one more time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You're never acting more like God than when you seek to make peace with someone or seek to bring people into a position of peace with God. You're never acting more like your Father than when you're acting as a peacemaker. That's why peacemakers will be called the children of God. To be at peace with God, you got to trust the gospel of peace. You have to trust the gospel so He makes peace. Now let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Does everybody understand? Now, I hope everyone here tonight has been brought into a position of reconciliation with the Father. And that reconciliation is through Jesus. And we should thank Him for that every day of our life, that He's brought us into a position of peace. And in order to do that, that cost a great price for, it was the most ultimate price ever paid to reconcile us, was the shedding of His blood, the crucifixion of His Son for our sin debt. So He paid a great price to bring us into that position. Number two, He gives peace. In Philippians chapter 4, He gives peace. Now, I have peace with God. Lewis Henry, I got peace with God. I'm not an enemy no more. I've been reconciled to God. I've been brought into a position of peace. If you've trusted Jesus, you have too. Isn't that a great place to be? But I live in a body of flesh still yet. And what happens is my mind, I lose peace. Sometimes my mind, I don't have peace of mind. And if you have perfect peace of mind all the time, stay after church so I can shake your hand. Because I can't maintain that sometimes. Sometimes I lose my peace of mind. And when you lose your peace of mind, you lose your joy along with that. Well, God gives us not only peace and salvation, but He can also give us peace of mind also. Do y'all hear what I just said? We have recourse in this thing. Sometimes we don't think about it till later on down the line, but we need to think of these things at the beginning. We can have, let me say it plainly, we can have peace of mind. We can have it. And Philippians 4 talks about it. And notice what it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Now let's stop there just a moment. Be careful for nothing. You might have a note in your Bible. Under the word careful, that's the word that we get anxiety from. In other words, it says, the wording would be anxious for nothing. What's anxiety? It's fear. That's what it is. It's fear. And sometimes we have anxieties, and sometimes we have fears. And another word for them is we call them worries. And what worry is a fear of what might happen. That's what it is. You take a test, and I had a thing on my hand there a couple years ago, and they took a test on it, and I thought, oh my. What's that test going to show? So you don't get the results till a week or so later. Don't you love that week of waiting? And you think, I wonder what that is. Are they going to have to cut my hand off? I mean, you just go on and on. And you think the worst of things in it. What anxiety does, folks, is it takes your mind over. It takes your mind over and it brings your focus down and it sucks all the joy out of you. And along with sucking all the joy out of you, it sucks all the praise out of you along with it. So, y'all see what I'm talking about. That's the idea of anxiety where it says be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious for nothing. If you want to say it in another way, it means don't worry. Means don't worry. What are you worried about tonight? Don't tell me. But what are you worried about tonight? And a worry will take your sleep, won't it? You ever have worry take your sleep? Let me tell you something else worry will do. It'll take your health too. Over time, it'll take your health too. It's not good for you nor me to worry. And another thing along with it, it don't do anything. It serves no purpose. I'm really going to worry about this thing. Well, that's not going to change it one way or one other. It's not going to shove it one direction or the other. It's not going to do anything. It does not do nothing. It does absolutely nothing. And what worry does is it takes it steals our peace. I don't know about you, when it takes over my mind, I can't sleep. Certain things that happen, I can't sleep. I have to get up. If you notice, if I'm real tired, sometimes you go, the pastor's been worrying over something. And that's what it does. And now let me ask you a question. Is it a sin to worry? Oh, yeah, I didn't hear anything. Is it? Yeah, it's a sin. It's a lack of trust. It's unbelief is what it is. We got promises to carry us in situations. We got promises that will take care of things for us. We got a place to go to where we can draw strength from. And God doesn't want us to be filled with the anxieties of life. Well, they'll suck all the joy out of you. And they'll make you miserable. And indeed they will. So He can give you peace. Well, what do we do? Let's read on. Philippians 4, be careful. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer. Now, it gives different types of prayer, different truths about prayer, really. It says by prayer And one writer I read after said the idea of prayer here is adoration, worship. In other words, you know, a lot of times we just jump right to the worry. But it's good when you pray to spend time in worship. And that's the idea of the word by prayer is worship. Spend a little bit of time worshiping Him. Thinking about how great He is. Thinking about how He saved you and what all He's done for you. See what I mean? You spend a little bit of time in worship. And what it does when you worship God in prayer, what that does is that raises your mind up. Because see, when you feel with worry, all you see is the worry. You can't. There might be 10,000 things around you that's good, but all you see is the worry. Has everybody got me? There might be all kinds, hundreds of things you got to be thankful for, but all you see is the worry, and it just takes over your mind. Sucks the joy out of you, and it takes over your mind. You can't think about anything else. So, it says not to be careful, not to have the anxiety, but by prayer. And that carries the idea of worship. You take time to worship Him whenever you're praying. Everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is one of your supplications would be whatever the worry is. You make supplication, you take it to the Lord. You worship the Lord, and then you take that care to the Lord. Scripture says to cast all care upon Him, 1 Peter 5, because He cares for you. Casting all, there's two types of care. There's anxious care, and then there's tender care. Casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. And I'll be honest, to cast your care means to let go of it. That's what it means. And I don't know, brother. And what we do is we tell God about it. We tell God about it. And then we come away carrying it. We don't, remember I told you a couple of weeks, you don't take advantage of your roof, man. We don't leave it there. So we tell Him about it, but then we carry it back with us. And it still takes over our mind. So you pray. You worship, and then you make your supplication. And it goes on to say, with thanksgiving. Notice what it says in Philippians 4. Be careful. Don't be anxious. In everything, pray. Make your supplication. And do it with thanksgiving. What does it tell you to be thankful for? Because I don't know what your worry might be. You might have a big worry right here. But how many things, if you're here tonight and say, how many things do you have to be thankful for? I mean, seriously, you got this one worry right here, but really, and you know, when you got that one worry, what's the only thing you see? It's all you see, which takes your joy, takes your sleep, makes you miserable. But then around that, you got all of these blessings. You got these priceless, unchangeable salvation blessings. Plus, you got all the material blessings. You got so many blessings. You know that old song, "Count Your Blessings." Count them one by one, and after a while, you see they're more than you can be. They're more than can be numbered. But all we see is the worry. So it says to do it with thanksgiving, and thanksgiving raises you up. I do that when I pray. Do that. Spend some time worshiping Him, talking about how great He is. He is great, ain't He? And you can see how big your God is. Everything shrinks down around it, doesn't it? So I do it that way. I pray and I do it with thanksgiving. I rejoice in Him. Let's look back at our text now. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Now it says, let your requests be made known. Let your requests be made known to God. What are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do? I mentioned this down at Storms Creek at our first fellowship meeting. I think it's good for God's people to sometimes take inventory and what are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do at your church? Who are you asking God to save? You make your requests, man. You know, in many times it's like James says, you have not because you don't ask for nothing. We don't ask for things to consume it on our lust, but we ask for people to be healed. We ask for people to be saved. We ask for people to get work. We pray for our nation. I mean, we ask for things. God wants us to. And prayer is the means of obtaining. Okay? So, the result then, instead of being anxious, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what's the result of that? What's the result of going to God in prayer, letting your requests be made known, taking your anxieties and giving them to Jesus? What's the result of that? If you would, look at verse 7. Tells you what will happen. What will happen then? And the peace of God. The peace of God that passes understanding. I mean, when somebody sees it, they just say, I can't believe that person. I've seen it on deathbeds before. Someone be dying and getting ready to go save people. Different for a lost person. Saved people die different. It's a different. They got peace in it. And then you see them and they have peace. They're peaceful. They know where they're going. And they got a peace that passes. And when people look at it, man, it don't make no sense. They're dying, but they're going to heaven. They're getting ready to go to glory. They're getting ready to see the King. They're getting ready to feel better than they ever have in their life. Amen. Think about it. I'm going to say this one more time. It's going to sound awful. And if the Master doesn't come in my life, time. Now, I don't got a death wish. I'm not saying it. I think the very best day of my life will be the day I pass. Now, I'm not saying I want to die or I want you to shoot me or anything. But I'm saying, I know it sounds awful, but I'm saying the day I die, I get to see my Savior. The day I die, I'll be set free from the confines of this old sinful body. Spirits of just men are made perfect when they die. I will never sin again. I'll be with the Lord. I'll be in heaven. Think about it. That will be the greatest day of my life. That's how it is for God's people. That's why we really don't fear it. I don't want it to hurt or anything. But it will be the very best day of our lives. When you look at where you're going and who you're going to be with and how you're going, it's going to change you. It will be a great day for God's people. It's going to be a great day for God's people. And not only that, but He gives you grace for that too. He gives you grace for that too. So He gives you the peace of God. And that passes understanding. And people, I've seen that with people, like I said, on deathbeds before. You think, man, they're not crying and they're not mourning and they even seem joyful. What's the matter with them people? They know where they're going. And God gives what is called, I believe, dying grace. Gives you living grace, but He also gives you dying grace. Dying grace. I've seen that before too. Seen it. Haven't you? You ever seen it? Remarkable thing to see. So He gives us peace. Talking about the Lord of peace. He made peace. We went from being enemies to being at peace with God in reconciliation. He'll give you peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You remember the text? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. What determines your peace of mind is what your mind is stayed on. If it's stayed on gloomy things all the time, you're going to be gloomy all the time. But if it's stayed on Jesus and our blessings and all of the great benefits we have in Christ, it's going to raise you up. It's going to raise you up. You see the principle, really. Simon Peter, when he got out of the boat, remember, you know, I'm not going to go into the great detail. I've used it too much, probably. But as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, focused on Jesus, he was standing above the storm. And he was standing in the storm. He was standing on the water. Until he got his focus off Jesus, and then he sank. You see the spiritual lesson there? When you get your focus on Jesus, it raises you up. But when you get your focus off Jesus, it causes you to sink. And you need to get your focus back on the Lord. Back on Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Isaiah 26. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. So, He gives you peace of mind. He gives you peace of mind. You ever have the Lord give you peace of mind? You ask Him, He'll give you peace of mind. That's what He's doing in Philippians 4. It's available. That's what I'm trying to say. It's available. Last of all, He made peace in salvation. He's the peacemaker. He gives you peace. And He's going to rule over a kingdom of perfect peace. And that's why Jesus is called the Prince of what? My favorite name for the Master is the Prince of Peace. That's my favorite name. Is that one. I love the name Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. Prince of Peace. Let's go to Isaiah then. We'll close with this. I thank you folks for coming back this evening. I hope this message has been a blessing to you. It can be. You can use it all the days if you like. Isaiah chapter 9. Ah, man, I love this text. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. We'll close with this tonight. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of what? The Prince of Peace. That's my favorite name for the Lord. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Let me read that one more time. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. No end of peace. In the song, What a Day It'll Be, it says, all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. We're going to live in a kingdom of perfect peace. Can you imagine it? I sometimes like to sit and think about it, but it gets over my head after a while. It's hard for me to imagine that. It's an old wicked world that we live in. It's hard to imagine a world where there'll be no sin. It's hard to imagine a world where there'll be no sickness. It's hard to imagine a world where there'll be no sorrow or suffering. Isn't that hard to imagine? But folks, we're not far from it. We're not far from that kingdom. I mean, either way, if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, we're going to go be with Him. And heaven's the same way. All He's going to do is bring heaven down, isn't He? And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, ruled by the Prince of Peace Himself, the Lord Jesus. That's why He's called the God of all God's people said. Let's all stand. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.